one of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. And welcome into the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker this week alongside the man, the myth, the legend that is Randy McMichael.
Yes.
Wendy and Brian with us as well, and we have got a lot of stuff to get into. Boy, Randy, since a lot of things have changed now with the Atlanta Braves since you and I were together about 20 hours ago last, right?
It was some funny stuff going on, and when I saw it, Chris, I just started laughing because I thought it was great. But before we get started, welcome. Just like Chris said, we do appreciate everybody listening to us on the radio.com or if in your whip or your office, we do appreciate it. But before we start, I wanted to give a big shout out to the first woman that I've ever loved in my life, my mother, Angel McMichael. Happy birthday, Mama. Hope you enjoy your day, and of course, we'll talk throughout the day because I got to sing her song and all that. But happy birthday, Mama.
Well, happy birthday, and, Mom. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mama's birthday is today. She is at the ripe old age of 32. So she is a 32-year-old mom with a 41-year-old son. So, yeah, my mom's been 32 since I was 10 or whatever. So, but happy birthday, Mom. Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Randy's mom.
I saw that yesterday. I was like, whoa, okay. Well, and Brian said something interesting in the, in our pre-show, meeting or whatever. He said, how fun would it be for Puig if there were fans in the stand? Because he is a spark plug, man. He is that type of guy, and he's also the enforcer. He's an enforcer. We know one thing. If there's ever a bench-clearing brawl, the first one out the dugout, I'm sorry, is going to be Yasiel Puig. He's coming. It don't matter if the Brave player started it. Yasiel coming out there. That dude right there is nothing but, because I remember when he first came to the league. You remember he came in, Chris, with the Dodgers and how excited he was and all the hoopla and the hype around him. And then, people started figuring him out a little bit. It was some injuries and all those things. And so, I like the signing. I don't think there's any downside to the Braves signing him, do you?
No, I don't think. There's really not, simply because there's a couple things. One, he's not blocking somebody else from – stepping into that role at the big league club. And number two, and we don't know the terms of this deal yet as far as how much money he's getting, but I don't think he's going to cost the Braves a ton of money here on a one-year deal. There's two reasons, Randy, why I like this. One, I like it because the Braves did something. I like it because my team went out and it made a move to at least try to get themselves better. And there weren't a lot of options for the Braves right now, and they honestly, they probably went and got the best guy that was available. And in a normal season, I don't think this happens, but with a pandemic going on and everything else, and just kind of the way this season is starting to play out so far, we haven't gotten to first pitch yet on opening day, but just the way things are starting to play out a little bit, I like the move for that reason. I like to see the Braves make a move. You feel like at least there's some commitment there to wanting to try to be the best they can be and put the best team they can on the field. And, that's a good feeling because we've been in situations before where you knew the Braves needed to make a deal, they needed to make a move, and they didn't do it. So I'm glad to see them make a move here.
Yeah, I mean, you're glad to see him make a move because you did lose Nick Markakis, and now you're going to have a guy in there who can bring you some of the same kind of value as far as on the field. I mean, and he's going to be a guy that you can, you don't have to worry about. He's been in the majors. You don't have to worry about him catching up and all those things. And I just like the signing. I like the splash signing. We don't give the Braves enough credit for some of the things they do. Alex Anthopoulos is always working. We saw how he revamped the back end of that of the pitching staff and doing all those things. So I'm excited for what's to come for the Braves. And as we get started, opening day is in 8 days or something like that?
Yeah.
When is it?
Yeah, I think we're 8 days away.
is right around the corner. So I'm excited for that reason, and getting an opportunity to see the Braves play is going to be that much better. But he, I mean, when I saw that signing, and I guess another fan broke it, which was funny again, yeah. Just like the whole Patrick Mahomes thing. I guess somebody saw him walking around the battery, tweeted it out. And so that's how a lot of people found out that that Puig was going to be a Brave. But I could have swore, and I think Wendy did say it did happen, because he's been rumored for the Braves for the last couple seasons, and now they finally got their guy.
Well, and that brings me to my next point of the reason why I like this move. When that was announced yesterday and it started to float out there, Braves Twitter was, there were a lot of people that were excited about the move, a lot of people in favor of it. There were a lot of people that were, with one virus going around, why do you want to bring another one into the clubhouse? Kind of a negative side and a negative response to this, and people that weren't in favor of it. But here's what I like about this. Alex Anthopoulos was the vice president of operations with the Dodgers. He knows good and well what he's getting with Yasiel Puig. And he knows the reputation that Puig has around baseball of not being a good clubhouse guy. Apparently, Clayton Kershaw and some of those guys with the Dodgers, they couldn't stand him when he was there. Charlie Culberson of the Braves was on those teams. I'd be interested to hear what Charlie thinks about Yasiel Puig joining the Braves. But I don't think that Anthopoulos makes this move if he is not certain that this is a guy that would fit well in the Braves clubhouse. Because the one thing I do think, and this goes back to, I think the Braves had it when Bobby Cox was there, and it's something I think they still have under Brian Snitker, is I think they've got a pretty good clubhouse.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of animosity. I don't think there's a lot of, and you've been in locker rooms, you know how guys can be. I just don't think there is a lot of that in the Braves clubhouse.
No, I don't think so either. To all accounts, I mean, I've never been in the clubhouse, but from all accounts that I just see and from what you hear is that it is a really good clubhouse. All the guys, you know, not everybody gets along. Not everybody hangs out like everybody pretty much thinks they do. But, I mean, I just think as a collective of athletes and a cohesive unit, I think that they are, you know, they have the perfect locker room to accept a personality like him. I mean, he's like that everywhere he's been, though. He's been that big personality, that showman-type player and everything, and sometimes it can rub you the wrong way. And we know how traditional baseball seems to be as far as the proper this and the proper that, and you do this way, and it's always been done this way. That's why I always say baseball needs to grow the hell up. But, I mean, I think that they are, you know, in the right position for him. And, plus, I mean, he ain't going to hurt him. Like, they don't need Yasiel Puig to win the World Series. Let's get that right. Now, I think he needs the Braves more than the Braves need him. And I think, and I'm not going to say that's going to make him be on his best behavior. He's a grown damn man, can do what he want to do. But I just look at it as I don't see any downside to this signing. He's not going to fracture the locker room like everybody likes to say. I mean, you don't like him. I mean, hell, do I gotta like my teammate to play hard? No, I don't. I mean, hey, as long as we are at Truist Park or wherever we're traveling to, and you give me an all-out effort, that's all I can be happy with. I mean, I ain't got to go out to dinner with you afterwards, so no downside to it. I like the signing, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I think in Cincinnati, people really seem to like Yasiel Puig. And I've seen people on, folks on Twitter saying, well, he's a concern off the field. Actually, off the field, Randy, he's a pretty good guy. He's never been in any real sort of trouble to speak of, and his charity does tremendous work in the community, especially with kids. He does a lot of stuff with kids. And so I think off the field, he's going to be fine. Now, on the field, he's got a reputation of being a little bit lackadaisical sometime, maybe mm-hmm. not always giving his best effort. I hope, though, that with the way this offseason has gone, look, before the Braves called, it was the Marlins, the Orioles, or Korea. So what level of baseball hell do you want to go to if you're Yasiel Puig?
Yeah, okay, that ain't the best options. That ain't the best of options, man. And that goes back to, you know, the perception that people look at athletes as far as what they do on the field compared to what they do off. And like you just said, I've heard about his charitable donations and how charitable he is in his community with the children, like you said. And it's, you know, it's second to none. And, yeah, he can be a headache. And, yeah, he can make you want to pull your hair out, even though, you know, Brian Snitker doesn't have any hair. But, he can test you. I get all that. And I still think that, you know, when we go back to when he came in with the Dodgers, I thought thought he was going to be a superstar for a long time.
I did
thought
too.
He was
remember,
be a
what was
great
the Dodgers
player.
Signed him for? Wasn't it like $40-something million yeah. dollars when they brought him over from signed him from Cuba?
Yeah, we thought, I mean, I know I did. I thought he was going to be one of the best players in the game just because of the hype. And you saw the talent that he had, the ability that he had. He just hasn't taken advantage of it because, he like most great athletes that have his kind of ability, they get in their own way sometimes. And sometimes it seems like that's exactly what goes on with him. And, you know, fortunate for him, he didn't have to go to Baltimore or go to Miami. Now, being a Cuban baseball player that's built like Yasiel Puig in Miami ain't that bad. But, you know, it's times right now. He can't go on the beach. He can't go chill. But I mean, that ain't a bad spot to be. He's in a great spot right here in Atlanta, a team that's going to contend for a World Series. And you know, when he gets an opportunity to go out there and contribute, we'll just hope he does.
Yeah, and look, all you're asking is 2.5 months.
That's it.
Give me 2.5 months of laser focused Yasiel Puig, because when he's locked in, he is really good.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all you need. Give me 2.5. Give me about 10, 12 weeks of all you got. And he's a guy that can parlay this little stint with the Braves into a bigger and better deal next year.
I mean, that's always the thing. When you're on one of these prove it type deals that he's on, I mean, you go out there and you play ball and, you know, you might get an opportunity to make some more money. I think that's always the biggest thing when you talk about these prove-it deals, these one-year short deals, or when you're signed at a point where he's signed right now, you know, right before the season, these type of things, because I'm sure ain't no guarantee in the money. I'm sure the amount that the Braves paid him ain't going to put a dent in their wallet as much as Liberty Media likes to, you know, act like they broke. I'm sure it ain't going to hurt them or nothing like that. But, I mean, it's a good deal for him. It's a good deal for the Braves that I see more upside than downside to this accusation. I mean, them acquiring him, because he ain't going to sink the ship. I think that's the ultimate thing, Chris. They don't need him. They don't need him to win. I mean, it's good to have him on the team, but yeah, he's not a top commodity. Oh God, we got Yasiel Puig, so we're going to contend. And if he doesn't play well, we're going to lose. No, it's not that.
There's some more news surrounding the Braves in terms of who's going to be the opening day starter. That was announced yesterday, and some Major League Baseball umpires have said, nah, maybe not when it comes to playing this season. We'll get into all of that and more. What's Trending is next. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker along with Randy McMichael. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed, and when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen,
time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
When I told him, actually last night after the game, he was excited. You know, it's a big deal. Regardless of the situation, it's an honor. It's a big deal. And not mistaken, it's the first other one other than Julio for a while here. You know, it's well-deserved. You know, I think he understands what that means. And, you know, he's worked really hard and what he's done. And like I say, well-deserved.
That's Braves manager Brian Snitker on Mike Soroka being named the Braves opening day starter. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker. Randy McMichael alongside here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Randy, I don't think there's any surprise that it's Mike Soroka that will get the ball to open the season for the Braves. 22 years old. He is the youngest opening day starter for the Braves in modern franchise history.
Man, this is such a big deal, man. And the reason why, because like Stick said, I mean, I'm sure Mike Soroka knew he was going to be the opening day starter. I'm sure, there was probably no doubt in his mind. But just to get that, the verification from Snick, I bet that made it that much more special. And he deserves it. The guy has been rock solid, and hopefully he can continue to be that guy that the Braves need at the top of their – at the top of their pitching rotation. I mean, the guys have been looking good so far, man. I think that, you know, watching a little bit of the scrimmage last night, Max Fried looked like he's ready to go, Chris. And so when your first two guys are looking the way that, that these two guys have looked, even though it is an inner squad scrimmage or whatever you want to call it, it gives me, you know, it gives I'm encouraged by what I saw from Mike Soroka. And let's just hope that he can keep it going now. Now, this is a big thing because they're going to play the Mets. And right now, their ace, you know, back tightness and all that, which you don't know how that is, especially when you're talking about a pitcher, as you know, with the motion and all those things. So when I saw that, first thing came out of my mouth, uh-oh, you know, because if there hasn't been a more snake-bit pitching staff than whatever the Mets try to put out there over these last few years, I mean, and now just to see your guy like that, you know, your ace, your number one in your pitcher rotation, come up with a back stiffness. Now, it might not be anything, Chris, not saying it's something big or whatever, and, you know, I don't care, you know, regardless. I'm all about the Braves, but I mean, that is something that worth, you know, keep monitoring, you know, as we get closer to opening day up in New York.
Oh, no doubt about that. Now, real quick, Randy, we talked a lot last segment about Yasiel Puig signing with the Braves. Think about this Braves lineup now. 1 through 5, when you can go Acuna, Albies, Freeman, Ozuna, and Puig. That's a pretty solid 1 through 5.
You got options. I think that's the great thing about what the Braves are, as far as the talent that they have and the depth that they have, and, you know, having the universal DH right now is just only going to help the Braves. That means you get an extra bat in there. You ain't got to worry about your pitcher hitting. And now you can have, you know, a little depth to your lineup 1 through 9. And so I think that's going to be a real beneficial, you know, aspect of what the Braves are going to do as far as offensively, because they got guys. And then you talk about defensively. Remember all spring it was, well, who's going to start at third with Austin Riley or Camargo? Who's going to do that? And now you can find a way to get them both in the lineup at the same time. So I like what's going on with the Braves. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, like I said earlier, Chris, I don't see any downside to signing Yasiel Puig, because he's not going to come in here and be that kind of that destroyer of a team. I just don't see that happening.
And you bring up a good point, Randy, about the Braves having some flexibility with this lineup and the designated hitter. They've got guys that can play multiple positions. I think that kind of factors into something that, was it yesterday or Monday, we talked about Snitker saying that 17, he was going to carry 17 pitchers start the season. So you're talking about outside of your nine guys in the lineup, you're only going to have 4 potential position players on the bench. You can get away with that right now in a league with the designated hitter, because you don't have to worry as much about the double switch or the defensive replacements as much as you would if you're trying to account for, trying to get around that pitcher at the plate. So something to keep an eye out for. I think that's part of the reason why the Braves can be able to hold on to some of those extra arms, at least during the early part of the season. Major League Baseball umpires, according to the Associated Press, they said yesterday that it was about, I don't know if they said about 10. I don't know if that's 9. Is that 11? I don't know. But about 10 Major League Baseball umpires opted out of working the season amid the pandemic. Umpires deemed high risk for COVID-19 due to age or other issues will get paid for the year, per an agreement with the league and the Major League Baseball Umpires Association. They're going to pull up AAA umps now to replace these guys who have opted out.
Well, you remember how that was a disaster last time they tried to do all that stuff. And I just look at, I mean, most of the umpires in Major League are old. I mean, that's one of the things, is that their age is up there. We know that this virus or whatever, it does affect older people, and I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked by it. And because you've seen the first base coach, I can't think of his name right now, for the Braves, he opted not to come back. And so, I mean, they're in a position where you got to take what you got, and what you got right now is a lot of minor league umpires who I know, without the minor league season, they're not complaining. They're not like, nah, I ain't going to go. I mean, they, this is work for them. This is their job right now. And, you know, I think when you look at this different season, I mean, something else is going to come up. I mean, we said 10 or 11 now. It might be more as the season goes on. It might be as soon as when you get out there, you're like, I'm not comfortable doing this, and then I'm out. So as we get closer to this thing, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw more and more umpires doing the same thing.
Atlanta United in action tomorrow morning. We'll have an abbreviated show, a little bit of a late start tomorrow because of Atlanta United. They will take on Cincinnati tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. You can join Mike and Jason for all of the action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is their second match of the MLS's back play. Frank DeBoer had this to say about playing in the heat tomorrow morning.
It's really tough circumstances, and but we have to deal with it. Cincinnati had the same, but I can imagine, you know, we have better preparations, you know, to watch the game.
9 a.m. kickoff, Randy, going to be a little hot, a little humid tomorrow in Orlando.
One thing about it is Cincinnati, they're going to be hot too. That's the thing about it. Yes, Cincinnati is going to be hot also. So, I mean, you know, both teams will be playing in it right there. I just, you know, and of course it's Wednesday, so we will have Jason Longshore on with us. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, how do you adjust to what happened on Saturday night? How did they do? How do you play it better? I mean, they should just put foots all up in Cincinnati. But me saying that is not going to get it done. I think that they know they have to play better. And the one thing they have to do, Chris, they got to tighten up in the back end, but they got to take advantage of opportunities when they get a chance to score goals.
More on that coming up with Jason Longshore later today. Randy, if you ever wanted to be a two-sport star, I think I may have your chance.
Let me hear it.
The Brooklyn Nets, Randy, they're running out of bodies. The what? Nets have had 8 guys test positive since the virus outbreak. Michael Beasley, who was set to join the Nets, he has now tested positive for COVID-19, and he has had to leave the bubble in Orlando. The Nets have already signed Jamal Crawford, who is 40, mm-hmm. Randy. I mean, yeah. That guy was playing at Michigan last century.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, this is, I mean, it was funny, Chris, because we were talking about me and Bunk when they signed Crawford, when they signed Beasley. And I'm like, well, hell, they run out of bodies. I come out there, I mean, I go down to Orlando. I don't think my wife of mine, this brick and everything, it travels. So I can take this down to Orlando. I can do my job. I can do my midday show from 10 to 2, you know, and then go to practice. And come. I can do it down there. It ain't a big deal. But, yeah, they running out of bodies. I wonder who they going to sign now. Now, if they go out and get, like Sherman Douglas or somebody like that, or, you know, I mean, go. I'm sure some people are hooping at an outdoor court down in Orlando. I wouldn't be, but I'm sure some guys are. Go find you some bodies, man. I mean, that is the craziest thing. And now they're talking about, like, if he leaves, they don't know if he'll be able to come back. That was my thing we talked about with Rondo yesterday. It was like, Rondo, he got to have surgery. He's not going to have surgery there. So when he comes back, then he has to do another week in quarantine. Yeah, I mean, and now we just saw James Harden just got down there last night. So now he has to, you know, stay under quarantine, all those things. I mean, they're just waiting, Chris. They're just praying that they can just get to when the game starts. We'll figure it out once it starts. That's where the NFL is, too. Let's just get there. Then we'll figure it out when we get there. We'll figure it out once it happens. We just got to get there. And that's where the NBA is right now. We see MLS is back. And now, you know, we're just, you know, a few days away from, you know, some real live NBA action. But, yeah, just get me there, and then we'll figure out where to go from there.
Yeah, that's in all the news right now about the NBA. Unfortunately, it's not about what's happening in practice or what's happening on the floor. Instead, it's about positive test. Harrison Barnes tested positive. The article I read on that said that he is the 20th player in the month of July to test positive. He is the 45th player to test positive since phase one of the NBA's testing program started in June. Of course, he plays for the Sacramento Kings, and he is another one. And like what we talked about with Westbrook yesterday, he tested positive before he went to Orlando. Tim Duncan, who's now an assistant coach with the Spurs, he's not going to go to Orlando. There's a limit on how many folks you can bring. And right. So the Spurs have, I guess they're going to let Tim Duncan stay back.
Yeah, I'm sure that they gave Tim the option. I'm sure they were like, Tim, do you want to go? And he decided not to go. They're not just saying, Tim, you ain't going. I think it was more of an option that Tim decided against that option. But, I mean, you remember it was all a big thing about, you know, the older coaches and all those things. And, you know, Pop is one of the older coaches in the NBA, and how he would coach if he wore a mask. And some people thought that they weren't going to allow him to go down there. And we know how the coaching organization, how they were like, Rick Carlisle and them like, nah, that ain't going to happen, Captain. He's coming. And so, it's going to be an adjustment for everybody. We got some funny stories coming up in the Wendy Zone about, you know, because we I guess we're on NBA bubble watch every day because it's some nonsense that's going on down there. So we'll get a good laugh at 11:40 with Wendy. But yeah, I mean, just get us there. That's just get us there, and then we'll see where we get, you know, when we get to it, as far as if we're in season and a player tests positive after a game or something, what are we going to do? Because, I mean, they got to – Chris, they shut down the whole world of sports because of Rudy damn Gobert. The whole world of sports stopped because of damn Rudy.
That's because of true.
Damn Rudy. Because Rudy can't keep his hands to himself. You know,
that's true.
The whole sports world stopped. And so, I mean, it's coming back gradually, and hopefully, you know, we'll continue to get progress.
About an hour away from the Windy Zone, we'll talk more about it then. We'll kick off the next hour with the NFL No Huddle. But first, big deal, small deal, no deal. That's next. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker, along with Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
You don't need a radio to listen to The Game. Just download our app and listen anywhere, at any time.
With the powers vested in me, I pronounce you man and
gold! It's a goal! It's a goal!
Okay,
a goal.
Almost any time. Download the Radio.com app now and take us with you from Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah.
It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker, along with Randy McMichael here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, you can always find us at 92.9thegame.com and on the radio.com app. You've already got it. Go ahead. If you're you get out of range or you got to be away from the out of the car for a while, go ahead. Pull us up on your phone through the radio.com
app. That right there got me wanting to move. Oh, Chris, got an update on the show. I did watch Hightown.
Yep.
It's a definite watch on Stars. And then whoever put me on the P-Valley, somebody told me about it the other day, P-Valley. Oh, hell yeah. I'm going to enjoy watching that because it is a show about one of my favorite former activities was going to the shake joint. And the you know, that was, one, like I said, Chris, former activity. I ain't been to one of them things in a while, but I'm just saying I just like the show. But it's one of those things because we got kids running in and out the house all day, you know, running around, coming into the room. So you got to watch it in the basement because it's a lot of
gotcha.
Yeah. You know, when they come up and they show the credits, it's SC. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
SSC. Yeah. It's a lot of that in there. But also, Underboss just texted me. It's Sean's mom's birthday, too. So both of our great mothers born on the same day. So happy birthday.
Well, how about that?
Happy birthday, Sean's mother.
So, yeah, happy birthday to Sean's mom as well. It's time to turn things over to Brian Gebhardt for just a minute. Let's get into big deal, small deal, and no deal.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal.
No Deal.
With Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
What up, B?
Hey, how we doing today, guys?
We're hanging in there, man. It's a beautiful day. Chris, how's the weather up there in Chattanooga?
Hot.
It's hot. So it's hot. Like it is down here. Just
a lot of sun, a lot of heat. Hot.
So I got a fun story to kick off Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal for you guys. That song that we heard coming in that Randy said made you want to dance a little bit, Gangnam Style, which came out, I don't know, maybe like 7 or 8 years ago. It was a huge hit. Well, I actually, you know, you saw my moves there one night, the Gebby snaps and all those bad dance moves I've got.
Yes.
I actually won a dance-off
at, get the hell out of here.
At like a company event and may or may not have won an iPhone 6 for that song in the finals.
Are you serious? Did you like now tell me this. Was it just a made-up dance, or did you do the actual dance to this song?
To be honest, I was several Jameson shots in that night. So I don't really remember. But the girl that I was like dancing against was like a legit dancer. Like someone like Wendy, who was like professionally trained. She was actually opening her own dance studio. It was just me being a big goofy dude that went all in on it and just committed to the game and pulled out the W. That's pretty much what happened.
Hey, doesn't Brian seem like the worm guy? Like he in the middle of the dance floor doing the damn worm?
You seem
like that type of guy. Or the worm guy, or how Leo was dancing on Wolf of Wall Street. That's you right there, dog. That's you. That's you all day, man. All day,
that's,
all day.
That's pretty
day.
Spot on. I haven't tried the worm too much. That's a hard one for me to pull off with my body type. But Leo in Wolf of Wall Street, that's me. I'll go out there in the middle of the dance floor and make a fool of myself.
So Brian got an iPhone. Was it an iPhone 6, you said, Brian?
Yeah. We actually, so at that job, we'd win different like iPads, iPhones, that type of thing. I actually just gotten a new phone myself, so I gave that new phone to my mother.
Oh, what a good son you are. That's very kind of you.
You know, see, that kind of spoils where I was going with this thing now, because I'm still trying to figure out how much money Randy got for the dancing that he did in college that we've learned about, that I have only recently learned about this week.
Why y'all bringing up old stuff? Why y'all bringing up old stuff, all right?
Did you get a flip phone for that back then?
Well, I mean, I had that Star Trek. Remember that Star Trek? Everybody wanted that Star Trek back in the days, man. And luckily, one of my partners had an extra one. Now, what come to find out that it was it wasn't a legit Star Trek. So yeah, because you know, back in the day when you had them bat phones or whatever, and you got them from the bootleg, man. So you're like, cool, but not knowing that when they find out, they cut everybody's phone off. So I'm like, damn, my phone cut off. So I take it up to the damn phone phone store. And the man was like, hey, man, get rid of this phone right now. I'm like, what? Get rid of the phone right now. And so, I mean, but yeah, I made a couple of $100, man. I made a couple of $100 to shake it for some middle-aged women. All right? It was one time. It was one time. You can't hold me accountable for a one-time thing.
Much respect, Randy. Respect.
They didn't have no champagne room and nothing like that. I ain't do nothing like that. I ain't do nothing that I couldn't wake up the next morning and look myself in the mirror. How about that?
Much respect. Brian, what else you got?
Big deal, small deal, no deal. Philadelphia city officials telling the Eagles and Phillies that there will be no fans at any 2020 home games.
Big deal, because that goes back to what we talk about. Why are you waiting so early? I mean, why are you – I understand that, you know, and a lot of teams are doing this. They're calling their season ticket holders and all these and giving them the info and everything. But, yeah, I'm like, why are y'all doing it right now? I mean, that's the only thing I don't understand. But, I mean, it's kind of what you kind of expect. A little bit, right? Especially with the Phillies, because baseball is about to come back anyways. You know, if we got at least a month and a half or something until an actual football game can be played in Philly.
I kind of think it's no deal, because baseball wasn't going to allow fans in anyway. So it didn't affect the Phillies at all in this. And for the Eagles, you know, I can see where you're coming from, Randy, about, you know, reacting to this thing or acting to this thing kind of early on, I guess. But you know, the question becomes, what happens if in the NFL season, if they allow certain teams to have fans in the stands and then some other teams doesn't? What happens if the Phillies, the Eagles, rather, can't have fans in the stands, but the Redskins and the Giants and the Cowboys all do?
That's a great point. That's a great point. And that's when you get back to, is it going to be a universal, or are you just going universal, like, policy, or are you going to actually let states – and governments implement who can be in the stands, who can be in the stands and not. So that'd be an interesting point right there, because one thing that we don't want one team to have is a competitive advantage. I think that's always the biggest thing, is you don't want one team to have something that the other team can't have.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. Odell Beckham Jr. claiming he considered retiring after his ankle injury in 2017, and OBJ letting everyone know that when it comes to his hair, the blonde is back.
I don't care. I mean, that ain't no big deal. Everybody always want to talk about retirement. I'm hurt. Okay, dude, we all get hurt. It happens, man. They don't want to think about retirement. What happened? That man was not going to retire nothing. And the blonde, all right, cool, whatever. I mean, so that means you're going to play better? Because this is the thing about Odell. If Odell's right, you know, I'm talking about health-wise, because he was not healthy at all in Cleveland last year. Odell is a dominant player when he's right. And hopefully he's right, because I love to watch Odell play. But, man, nobody's studying no retirement after no broken leg and, you know, foot with fourth or fifth year. Man, go on somewhere. Stop whining. Everybody get hurt.
Yeah, it's a no deal for me, too. It might have been a big deal at the time had he have gone through and retired. But I think there's a lot of guys, Randy, you might have been in that boat at some point in time in your career, where there's a lot of guys that think about it at some point in time.
Yeah, after year 10, I was like, dude, I'm cool. Got a decade out this thing. I'm good. But, I mean, and now we see players retire earlier than most times, because of the fact of the head injuries and all that. We've seen that happen before. But, I mean, yeah, Odell, he's going to be fine. It's just one of those things where, you know, attention-seeking, which you don't need the attention seek because you're Odell damn Beckham Jr. You're one of the best players in the National Football League that when you write, you know, he gets busy. That's what I like to say. He gets busy.
Good stuff today, Brian. Notes. Appreciate it, man.
Oh, okay.
We're good?
Thanks, guys. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, B. Thanks,
yes, sir. More from Brian Gebhardt coming up a little later on. We'll get into our NFL no huddle. Big day today in the NFL. Doesn't appear as though Dak Prescott is going to get a deal done with the Cowboys. We'll talk a little bit about that and some money for a couple of defensive linemen, Myles Garrett, Chris Jones. They get big paydays. We'll get into that when we continue on. NFL No Huddle coming your way next on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker, along with Randy McMichael here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.